Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." As Christians, it's important for us to keep our conscience clear and our hearts in tune with the Holy Spirit by renewing our minds in His Word. Today, we discuss how the conscience can be guided by the Holy Spirit or by our own selfish desires. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we seek to identify who is guiding our conscience. Romans 8:37 begins, "Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit." That's some assurance there, Janie.
That is some assurance. And you know what? It took me for a while years ago to realize that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ when I'm in Him. That includes I can't undo what He's done for me once I'm in His family. And so many times there is a doctrine, and doctrines can differ, that I can lose my salvation.
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay, and then that would mean that my will and my choice and my abilities are greater than the work on the cross that Jesus Christ did when He says, "I lose none that the Father hath given me." That's a subtle way where our conscience, if it is not properly under the control of the Spirit, can cause us deception and some tribulation in our life. How can we ever have the security of what you've just read if we think we can override this? "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor myself can separate me." Now, we know as we study today that...
Well, can't you turn away?
Well, turning away...
That's a completely different thing than...
Turning away is letting my will make unwise choices.
Okay.
And if I'm listening to my conscience that has not been, I don't know if I like the word programmed, but a conscience can be trained by the reading of the word and by being quiet and listening, can be trained to recognize what the conscience is saying.
Okay.
But we have learned to become callous to voices that we don't like.
Oh.
And you know what? That may be one of the things that we have when we pick out the clique that we want to run with. We hear the voices from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are seeing things one way, and we will go run with them and even maybe establish a doctrine and a denomination thinking rather than really listening with a quiet voice to the conscience.
So someone who will make me feel good about where I'm at rather than challenge me to grow closer to the Lord.
That's right, because, you know, the conscience sometimes tells you things that you don't want to hear.
Now, when you say our conscience tells us stuff, now, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah.
Deeper.
Well, we can
because
certainly...
I mean, this certainly isn't Jiminy Cricket sitting on our shoulder.
That's true. And what was that phrase?
The conscience will be
your
guide.
Yes. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up, because the conscience is really one of the main tools, as we've just read here now in Romans. "I tell you the truth, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So there we have the conscience and the Holy Spirit working together as a single unity.
Okay.
So if I am in violation or choosing to listen to anything from my own foolish emotions as a final authority, or listen to somebody who is speaking to me from their own tradition or their own wisdom or their own past experiences or maybe current experiences.
Or their own bitterness or offenses.
Wow, now you're getting to prying in somebody's life. Well, then I will just say for anybody who's listening today, bitterness is one of the most deceptive thinking that we can walk in. And the reason why it is so utterly dangerous is because not only, according to Hebrews, does bitterness defile me and put me into deception and unforgiveness, but everyone who comes in contact with me gets the overflow of my bitterness.
Mm.
So now if I'm bitter, and so now I'm going to talk to you about a certain segment of Christianity, where it might be in my own church or my own circle of friends, and I listen to that, I am brought into deception because I listen to where the enemy is controlling, and I get my focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ onto where the enemy is deceiving and putting blindness because of bitterness. And then I wonder why things seem so dark, so full of chaos, why I can't get my act together.
So really, I mean, getting things situated in my mind, what I hear you saying is that when we allow bitterness to guide us through our conscience, we're deceived and we're allowing the enemy to rule and control us. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to use our conscience to hear God, to walk in his ways, to guide us through our daily Christian walk, then our hearts can be sensitive to hear.
Yes, and then as we talk on the subject of the conscience, and we're talking basically today on seeing what the conscience is, the good conscience, the pure conscience. There's also the opposites of that. There is the weak conscience. There's defiled conscience. There's the seared conscience. There's the wounded conscience. So we have to realize, my, what a medicine chest full of prescriptions that will heal when you talk about focusing on the good conscience, on the blameless conscience, on the clear conscience. And focusing there rather than allowing to take some of the opposites, which are like, I shouldn't say poison, but it's certainly never going to build you up.
Well,
it's going to tear you down.
It has to be poison because it's not life-giving.
That's right.
It's life-taking.
That's right. That's okay. So let's go ahead. I didn't mean to get sidetracked on the bitterness, but the bitterness is something that so many people fall into in total innocence.
Well, how do we get there then? I mean, you said total innocence, but how do we get to the place of bitterness?
Not dealing with a sin problem. And then if you'll let me get on my hobby horse for just a moment, not understanding the book of Romans, where you need to start as a beginning, and not understanding Romans 6 and 7, because then you'll never be able to walk in Romans 8, which is walking in the life of the Spirit and under his control and being able to listen to him and what he has to say about the conscience.
Okay.
But sometimes we just, Sharon, why would anybody, quote unquote, in their right mind want to say, I find freedom through death and the cross? In the reality of the Roman government, which used the crucifixion or the cross, that was the most dastardly, cruel way of executing a person. It was a lingering death with agony of having to raise up on the feet where the nails were pounded through the through the feet to get a breath of air, only to then have to drop back down because you couldn't stand of the pain. And it was a slow, lingering death. A gunshot wound would probably have been considered a gift. Being beheaded might have been a pleasant way to die other than through the cross. But God Almighty knew what he had to have for the sin that began way back than what we have time to talk about today, before the Bible was written, before Adam and Eve, back in time eternal, where the sin of rebellion was birthed. In someone who was an angel of light, with incredible authority to orchestrate things that were going on back in that absence of time, but eternity past. So deception is so subtle, and we can trace it down through 6,000 years. The only thing we'll be able to do today is just to start to say, what can we do to build up and not tear down, since the Lord has promised that these things cannot separate you.
We can't be separated from Him.
Right.
So since we're not going to be separated from Him, once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord, then the due diligence to our Christian walk would be keeping a clear conscience.
Yes. And then we're back to Sharon Hart's foundational truths. And that is, God never judges people by their brains.
Right.
He judges them by their hearts. Yeah. And now we're back to Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, because out of it proceed all the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk today, and even when we get into the conscience and its negative aspects, guard your heart. Then somebody's going to come back and say, nah, Jenny, that doesn't work because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Yes, I agree. And that's why you need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, who's got control of the conscience that is going to then bear witness.
Right.
Am I going in circles, or is it making sense?
Well, it's making sense to me. But what I hear you saying is, to keep our hearts right, we need to make sure that we have a clear conscience in allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us.
Yes. And then the simplicity of everything we are working on today is, the scriptures gives us all that we need to know about the heart to function in the will of the Father.
Okay.
And now I just gave you another key word, the will. The will is still having to do battle with me, myself, and I.
Oh.
And Sharon, you've had two children. I've had two, adopted more than what a lady has in the old shoe. And I can tell you, the will begins probably the day after you're born. It may still begin really in the
womb.
In the womb. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And you can see that and manifested in a newborn's expectations. I want to be fed. I want to be changed. I mean, it's got a will of what it wants, whether it's for comfort or whatever. It's got a will. And then by the time you are a teenager, your will has developed so much so that you know more than your parents.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then you have to go through unlearning what you thought you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's for another day.
Yeah.
But see, these are things that we're talking about. The spirit, the conscience, the deception, the will, and the fruit of unrighteousness or the fruit of righteousness.
Well, and you get to a place, if you allow deception to just rule your life in bitterness.
Sharon, God is not a bully. He never forces, but he gently and carefully allows a person to respond in a choice by faith to the promises that he gives to those who are his.
Mm.
All right? And so consequently, many times we turn our back even on Christianity when we have negative circumstances happen that we cannot explain. And how could God, if he's a loving God and a good God, allow this to happen?
Right.
He's a control freak. And I don't like the way he's controlling because of the tragedy or the trauma or whatever.
Right.
Difficulty. And no way am I going to trust your God. And then I have to come back and gently remind, I agree with you, because if you don't know my God, how in the world would I ever expect you to trust him? Why do we trust people we don't know? We train children from childhood Don't talk to that person. You don't know them. Uh-huh. You see, you don't know their intent. And yet we will turn around and not talk to the one who gave his life to deliver us.
Yeah.
And then we do not like the cross. We want the benefits of the cross, but we don't want the sufferings of the cross. And now we're back to one of the foundational scriptures that Sharon Hart stands on probably weekly. And that is, and I'm going to paraphrase, that I might know him, that I might get to know him. And then the very next phrase is, and the power of his resurrection. Oh, Janie, you're speaking a little far out here. We can't know anything about resurrection life till we get to heaven. Oh, that's not what my Bible says. Because then the next phrase says, and to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Let me tell you what, I'll take his benefits 7 days a week, but don't you ask me to get in there to the fellowship of his sufferings. I can't handle it.
Because that's where a lot of us are. Isn't it?
Most. Mm-hmm. And here's the legitimacy of it, because that passage of scripture says, being conformed unto death. Well, thank you. I know I'm going to die in 80 years, but I don't want to die at 25 or 30. But I have to know death to know life.
Right.
The cross brought us death to have life eternal. Because if we've all sinned, then we've already are condemned, and we need the Savior, the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide that.
So what death are we talking about? We're talking about death to self, death to flesh, death to my own will, death to my own ideas and opinions over the truth of the scriptures.
Yes.
And the truth of the love of God, and the truth that the Holy Spirit will guide me and lead me into righteousness and conform me into the image of Christ when I surrender to him.
And then let's keep it practical, okay. Because I hate to get a lot of good doctrine and nobody knows how to apply it.
Exactly.
And that is because, as we referred to that newborn babe, having expectations.
Mm-hmm.
When an expectation, a hope, or a desire is to be found in a circumstance or a person, and those expectations are not realized because the other person fails to achieve, then it has been shown scripturally as well as certainly practically, our first response is an emotional one from our belief, and that is anger. Mm-hmm. You didn't do what I needed. You didn't do what I deserved. You didn't do what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that anger can come out in a wounded spirit.
Okay.
It can develop into an evil spirit. It can even go so far as to develop into a seared conscience, to where you can no longer discern right from wrong.
So that's a wounded conscience.
Yes, a wounded conscience. And what we want to recognize when we talk about these characteristics of the conscience, you just can't take them and put them in a little envelope and seal it and say, this is a good conscience, this is a bad conscience. Yes, they have opposites. But if you are operating in a, let's just say, a good conscience, then there will be a desire to keep that good conscience pure.
Okay.
And there will be certain attributes the scriptures can show you on the specialities of a pure conscience that will intertwine with a good conscience. So I want us to recognize, when you're doing right, things flow together and you build. When you train a child, you see when the child finally obeyed and you think, oh, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope. Maybe they finally heard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. And then you keep putting into them more attributes,
mm-hmm.
that you want them to see, and then they will disappoint you because they won't meet your expectations. And
well,
then
and we can do that by allowing something that someone does to us, or a situation or circumstances in our life, cause us to hold a grudge, and then that unforgiveness can turn into bitterness if we're not careful in watching that conscience.
And again, to keep it simple, everything you talked about, the bitterness and what have you, that doesn't go along with where the Lord said his heart resides. And he told us where our heart should reside, in 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you've got all the rights and you think you've got it all together, but you don't have that His agape love, first and foremost, you're like a clanging cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love to hear cymbals in a marching band at the right time, but if that cymbal just never stopped and didn't keep any
kind of rhythm.
Yes, you'd want to get your earplugs out or just leave, see? So we need to be careful to keep it simple, Sharon.
Okay.
We need to stay in the Scriptures, recognizing that with as many doctrines that are given to us these days, we sometimes don't know how to handle the multiple different doctrines that are given to us. So I'd like to say, learn the doctrines as the Holy Spirit enlightens them to you. But for everything He has taught you already, then let that become a teaching in your life that you will allow to work out. And now we're back to Philippians 3, because Paul said, hey, I don't have it all together yet. I am still attaining. But what I have obtained, I'm now going to use to the ability that the Holy Spirit and my conscience has enlightened me. And then I think by the time you're down to now about verse 15, it'll say, and so then apply. So do whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving a few basic verses that can be used in multiple situations as we learn what good consciences demonstrate and how to walk in them. If you're getting angry, if you're getting mad, then just know you don't have the heart of the Father who has brought you life.
And that's when we need to stop. When we recognize that we have gotten angry about something or there's contention in our heart and we feel wronged in some way, and that's when we need to stop and go to the Father. That's when we need to stop and make sure that our hearts are right with the Lord, asking for forgiveness, forgiving others, looking to the bright side, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that even in the trials and the struggles that we go through, you know, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm in this situation, but You do, and You can teach me while I'm here.
Yes. But you know what? One of the most subtle deterrents from what you're talking about, which is absolute truth, is how many people will stop what they're doing, especially if it is work for the Lord. Well, Lord, that's a problem I can't deal with right now because I've got to get over here and Susie get here, or I've got to go to this Bible study, or I've got to do this good work.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy can keep us trapped with supposedly good works when actually they're just busy works.
Okay.
A good work is going to have the heart of the Father. A busy work is just going to be busy. So can you see how the goodness can rob us of the best?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So sometimes it's embarrassing to just have to stop what you're doing. Tell somebody, no, I can't talk right now. I'll have to call you back.
Yeah.
I've got to reckon on where I see a problem right now. And then I'm going to tell you, sometimes that shows up in some poor physical symptoms as the Lord's trying to get your attention. And then if we can just get somebody healed physically, oh, Sharon, we don't have to worry about their soul and spirit. Somehow that'll get taken care of itself if we can just get them healed. I'm all for getting healed. As an old, old woman, I can't tell you how much I look forward to healing, but not at the expense of seeing that my soul and my spirit being guided by the conscience for eternal gain is a price that I joyfully need to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is great, Janie. I love it. But that's all the time we have for today.
Well, there you go, shutting me down again.
Well, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
Saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.